Once again, we bring you greetings from the saints at Monaco Bible Fellowship in Lansdale. And we trust that our time together this morning will just be a blessing to you all. Let's ask God to bless our time together. Father, we thank you again for this day you've given unto us and for this opportunity to look into your word. We just ask that your spirit just be so present with us today that whatever it is that we need to hear, we will hear it, and not just hear it, but put it into practice. We ask now that you'd speak to us and speak through us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I did have the opportunity to listen to the teaching from my brother Jeremy and my brother Dave, and we were just so grateful to be able to hear what it is the Lord laid upon their hearts. I was actually listening while I was in the gym. I think I listened to you on the treadmill, and I might have listened to you on the elliptical. But we thank God for this book and for the journey that we're going to be taking through it. I thought that Jeremy did a good job in putting this letter to the saints at Thessalonica into some context. When we approach the Word of God, we want to see what it has to say for us. We want to be able to make some practical application, but it's really important to understand what was going on, why the book was written, who it was written to. As has been already brought out in the past couple of weeks, the church at Thessalonica was a thriving church at a time and in a place where it wasn't easy to be a thriving church. So I thought, again, Jeremy laid some real good context for us. And Dave, one of the things he talked about last week was the difference between being an imitator and a follower, of Christ. I was thinking, there's an old Three Stooges routine where they're someplace, and they go into a place. I think there's a butler or something like that, and he's going to take them someplace. And so he says to them, "Walk this way." And they all like walk this way. They like walk that way, you know. Yeah. They were both imitators and followers. That's what we want to be. Because I think, as Dave said, you can imitate somebody and really not have any connection with them at all. So we want to not only be imitators of Christ, we want to be followers of him also. So let's jump into this text here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go back for a second to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God, in the sight of our God and Father." Three things he mentions there. He talks about your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. I want you to kind of compare that to what he says in verses 9 and 10. He says, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, in verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Do you notice the connection there between those two passages? Verse 3 talks about turning to God, serving the true and living God, and waiting for his Son in verse 9. In verse 3, it talks about remembering your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you seeing the connection there? Turning to God is the work of faith. Serving the living and true God is the labor of love. And waiting for his Son is our patience of hope. So Paul is being real consistent here in his message to these saints. And so we come to chapter 2. And I think this lends itself to really looking at it. I'm going to go through this verse by verse. And as I read it, before I even began to study, as I just kind of read it and reread it and meditated on it, there was just one thing that just kept jumping out at me, and it was ministry that matters. Ministry that matters. I love Strong's has a real simple definition of ministry, and it is service, especially of those who are executing the commands of another. Ministry. When we talk about ministry, we're talking about service, especially those who are executing the commands of others. And so that, as Jesus said, I didn't come to do my works. I came to do the works of my Father. And as I look at these verses here, I see it describing the ministry that Paul had amongst these saints at Thessalonica. And it is what I call ministry that matters. I'm 67 years old. I know to some of you that's young, and to some of you that's pretty old. But I realize, as one of my mentors, the late Dr. B. Sam Hart, used to say, at this stage in my life, there is more in my rearview mirror than there is in my windshield. And realizing, again, that none of us know how much time we have, and the fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ could crack the skies at any moment. I don't know about you. I want to be involved with ministry that matters. Ministry that is making a difference in the lives of people. And so let's begin looking at this. In verse 1, he says, for you yourselves know, brethren, let me just get this out of the way. Over 18 times in this letter, Paul is going to use this term, brethren or brothers. And again, it is specifically talking about those who have come from the same womb. So let me get this out of the way. What's up, my brother? Yeah, there is a relationship that we have because of our relationship with Christ that supersedes, in many cases, sometimes the relationships in our own blood families. Oh my goodness, I've said it before, I am closer to some of you than I am people in my own blood family because they have yet to embrace the Christ that I have embraced. And so in that way, we don't come from the same life. So Paul here talks about, he says, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Ministry that matters produces results. Paul said, listen, my coming to you, it wasn't a waste of your time and it wasn't a waste of my time. Ministry that matters produces results. Yes, I know that some plant and some water and God gives the increase. I know that. I know that God has said that anytime his word goes forth, it will not return to him empty. I know that. But let us not use those scriptures as an excuse for not seeing some results of our ministry. Paul's ministry in Thessalonica, I mean, my goodness, a local assembly was started there. Many people were brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that the produce of his ministry did was it put to lie all of the accusations that were being brought against him. Ministry that matters produces results. You remember the story of creation in the book of Genesis. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering and moving over the face of the waters. And God began to speak. And as God began to speak, he began to create. And everything that God created, after he created it, he looked at it, and he saw that it was what? Yeah, good. If you do a word study, oftentimes words have more than one meaning. Like if I say the word key, for example, it has more than one meaning, but you determine the meaning by the context. So if I say I lost my key and I can't get in, you picture a key. But if I say I want to speak to you about the key elements of this subject matter, then you see something different. And so context oftentimes will help us to choose which meaning of a word we want to use. Well, one of the shades of meanings of this word good is better. And I kind of like that because it helps me see some things about how I ought to interact with others. So God does something. So, you know, it's dark. The Bible says it's dark and the Spirit of God is moving. So God says, let there be light, and he separates the light from the darkness. And I like to picture it as God looking at what he did and saying, oh, man, now that's better. That's better. My point is that every time God interacted with something, it was better as a result of his interaction. Everything God touches is better. Every life that God touches, it's better. Every ministry God anoints, it's better. And so for me, I want every person that I come in contact with, I want every ministry that I get involved with to be better as a result of my involvement. So even if I just call Jeremy on the phone to see how he's doing, when he hangs up that phone, I want Jeremy to be better than he was before he talked to me. The ministry you're involved in should be better than it was because of your ministry. Ministry that matters produces results. This place should be a better place because of your ministry here. Because of your involvement here, because of everything that you do here, this place should be better. Ministry that matters produces results. Paul said, my ministry to you was not in vain. Notice he says there, for you yourselves know. I think there's about four or five times that particular phrase is going to be used again in this letter. He's going to say many times, for you yourselves know. I think Dave a couple of weeks ago talked about testimony and how, when you go to court, they don't want hearsay. They want to hear what you know, what you have experienced. And Paul says, to the saints there at Thessalonica, you yourselves know. They had not only heard some things from Paul, but they had seen him in action. They had seen him, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, how he didn't let what happened to him in Philippi keep him from doing the work that God has called him to do. They had not only heard some things, but they saw some things. I'm reminded of John John the Baptizer has been thrown in prison, and the disciples are on a visit to him, and he says to them, go back and ask Jesus, is he the one, or should we look for another? This is John. There's one coming after me that's preferred before me, whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to tie. This is Jet John. This is, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is that John. At a point of discouragement, tells the disciples, go back and ask Jesus, is he the one or should we look for another? What was Jesus' answer to him? Jesus says, go back and tell John the things that you hear and the saints at Thessalonica saw the effects and the impact of Paul's ministry. Are the people that you work with, the folks that live across the street or next door, the people that you interact with on a daily basis, are they not only just hearing what comes out of your mouth, but are they seeing the works of God, the life of God, and the love of God being manifested in your life? Ministry that matters produces results. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. That word means it's empty or hollow or fruitless. Ministry that matters produces results. Look at verse 2. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Something else I want you to see. Ministry that matters is pure in its content, and it's pure in its intent. What does he say there? Ministry that matters, even after we have suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. I'm going to date myself here, but there used to be a commercial for Timex watches. Anybody know what it was? It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Yeah, they would have like a monkey put the watch on and the monkey slamming up against the cage, or an elephant would sit on the watch. Ministry that matters takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Paul says, despite what happened to me in Philippi, you know that we were bold to speak for our God, to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. That word conflict, it means contention, it means opposition, whatever you want to call it. In the face of it, Paul said, I was bold to preach the gospel. Ministry that matters keeps going in the face of conflict. Ministry that matters is unapologetic. One preacher once said that there's always going to be pressure for us to mitigate our message. But folks, this is the year of our Lord, 2018. There is no time for weak-kneed, mamby-pamby, chicken-livered, yellow-bellied, fraidy cat, crybaby, wishy-washy, watered-down, spineless ministry. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember one of my mentors, the late Dr. B. Sam Hart, he was invited to speak at a place where there were people from various different religious beliefs. And so they asked him, he was asked to do the invocation. And they asked him, they said, Dr. Hart, we thank you for being here. Appreciate you doing the invocation. But we would ask that when you pray, that you not use Jesus' name, because we don't want to offend. I mean, there are rabbis here and there are Muslims here, and we don't want to offend anybody. So if you could just pray, just a kind of general prayer, and just not use Jesus' name. So Dr. Hart walks to the microphone, and he says, let us pray. Father, we come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. And his answer to them was, there are a lot of things that I can do. But one thing is that I cannot do is I cannot pray and not use the name of Jesus. Ministry that matters is unapologetic for our beliefs. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Ministry that matters is bold in the face of opposition and unapologetic. We used to call it holy boldness. Remember that phrase, holy boldness? And it's not, holy boldness is not something that you can manufacture on yourself. It's not self-empowered. It's spirit-empowered. I heard an interesting fact recently. They were talking about ATF bomb technicians. And they were saying that ATF bomb technicians are so confident in their own ability that when they approach a suspected explosive device, their heart rate actually slows down. Isn't that amazing? I've been doing this for a long time, but every time I think about standing before people opening up God's word, man, my heart begins to race. Why? Because we know that our boldness is not something self-manufactured. It is something that comes to us because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, that lets us know that there is a world out there that is dying and they need to have the truth. And so in the face of opposition, in the face of being called all kinds of names, in the face of being called intolerant, in the face of being shunned by the world, aren't diamonds made by pressure? There is something about the opposition that we face in the world that should make us not quiver, but make us even more bold to preach and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, you know that despite what happened to me in Philippi, listen, I'll be honest with you, had I got beat like Paul got beat in Philippi, I might want to take a little break. You know, even if I wasn't going to, you know, stop preaching the gospel, maybe I need to take a break from this thing. But Paul said, despite what happened to me in Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. So faith of God, faith in God, gives us the ability to do ministry that matters. Look at verse 3. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. Here's what I want you to see. Ministry that matters is true to the gospel and has pure motives. I love the way that J.B. Phillips' New Testament says this verse. It says, our message to you is true, our motives are pure, our conduct is absolutely above board. Oh my goodness, there's so much out there that is not true to the gospel of God. If you think fake news is scary, try false teaching. And there's a lot of it out there. If you didn't get healed, you must not have had enough faith. That's false teaching. If you're suffering, you must have done something wrong. That's false teaching. If you can name it, you can claim it. That's false teaching. If you can haul it, you can, if you can call it, you can haul it. That's false. If you can blab it, you can grab it. That's false teaching. Oh, if you send in your faith seed money today, my brother, and come over and touch your television, God is going to bless you. That's false teaching. Very well known, I won't call his name, a very well-known television pastor was being interviewed by a very well-known news personality. And the news personality asked him about fire and brimstone preaching. And here's what this television pastor said. Well, you see, I'm an encourager. And I don't believe it's my role to condemn anyone. I've always been an encourager at heart. I don't have it in my heart to condemn people. I'm here to encourage them. I see myself more as a coach, as a motivator, to help them experience the life that God has for them. I'm for everybody. Now, you may not agree with me, but to me, it's not my job to try to straighten everybody out. The gospel is called the good news. My message is a message of hope. God's for you. You can live a good life no matter what's happening to you. So I don't know. I know there's condemnation, but I don't feel that's my place. That's false teaching. Ministry that matters clings to the truth of the Word of God. Ministry that matters is true to the gospel. This kind of, you listen to that, you say, well, maybe there wasn't anything really wrong with it, but it's watered down gospel, and I believe that oftentimes it can lead to superficial decisions for Christ, where people don't understand what the gospel is all about and what God is asking you to do when you give your life to him. It is to recognize the fact that you are a sinner, and that you need to be saved, and that you can only be saved through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And after Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Ministry that matters is true to the Word of God. He says something else there, though. He says, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. Ministry that matters it's pure in content, and it's also pure in intent. We don't use the Word of God to try and get people to do what we want them to do. I can't tell you how many times I've been in counseling with married couples, and they might have been going through some difficulties, and at a particular time, the wife was just not feeling that kind of connection that husbands and wives often feel. And the husband would quote to her 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. We don't use the Word of God to get people to do what we want them to do. We don't use scriptures about giving to beat people over the head about giving. Even as we exhort, and the Bible has many things to challenge us with, but we don't use the Word of God deceitfully. We don't use the Word of God to try to get people to do what we want them to do. Ministry that matters is pure in content, and it's also pure in intent. Let's keep going. Verse 4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Ministry that matters, its messenger is approved. That word means tested, demonstrated to be genuine and trustworthy. I like what Donald Barnhouse wrote. He says, in the ancient world, there was no banking system as we know it today and no paper money. All money was made from metal. It was heated until liquid poured into molds and then allowed to cool. When the coins were cooled, it was necessary to smooth off the uneven edges. And the coins were comparatively soft, and of course, many people shaved them down very closely. At one time, there were 80 laws passed in Athens to stop the practice of whittling down the coins that were in circulation. But some of the money changers were men of integrity who would accept no counterfeit money. They were men of honor who put only genuine, full-weighted money into circulation. Such men were called docimos, and that's the word there that's used for Christians as how we ought to be seen in this world, as approved, as genuine. In Galatians 1:15, Paul says of himself, watch this, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Paul says, I was separated from my mother's womb. And even though Paul was called before he was even born, Paul had to go through a time of testing to show to the people that he was approved. 1 Timothy 5:22 exhorts us, do not lay hands on anyone hastily. They used to tell us when we were coming up, you know, there are many of us who the elders in our churches recognized a particular gift that God may have given to us, and they saw some potential. And there were many of us who they believed would one day be called of God to minister his word to people as teachers or pastors. But their thing to us was, pick up a broom before you pick up a microphone. I've seen too many assemblies in a hurry to add to the elders or to add to the deacons, and not giving men an opportunity to show themselves approved. And it wound up being a heartache and a headache. Ministry that matters, the minister himself is approved. He's gone through some things. When we lay hands on deacons at Monco, it is men who have been involved in the lives of the people in the assembly. And they've seen their lives. They've seen them minister. They've seen them serve. They've seen them work. They've seen them consistently being at church, consistently being at prayer meeting, consistently being around the Lord's table. Ministry that matters comes from a minister who has been approved. And Paul said, even though I was called from my mother's womb, I want you to understand that I have been approved by God. God has put his seal of approval on my life. Verse 5, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is my witness. Here's my next point. Ministry that matters is not for sale. It's not for sale. I pity the church that has to depend upon flattering people in order to get them to work and to give them compliments before they'll support the ministry. You know, it doesn't matter how they live. It doesn't matter how often they show up, you know, but as long as when we need something, they'll write a check for us, you know, we'll just tell them how much we appreciate them and how much we thank God for them. Ministry that matters is not for sale. Edmund Burke says flattery corrupts not only the receiver, but the giver. And Paul declares that he didn't preach amongst the Thessalonians in order to shake them down for whatever financial gain he could get from them. I am in full-time ministry, and this chapel, this group of believers here have over the years been such a blessing to me and gracious and generous in their support of the ministry to which God has called me. But make no mistake about it. If you said to me, Brother Sam, we would like you to come, but because of our financial situation, we're not going to be able to bless you, I would still be here. My goodness, I've gone to places where it cost me more than the offering that they gave me to be there. Ministry that matters is not, it's not for sale. Paul didn't use his ministry to them as a cloak for covetousness. And he said to them, God is my witness. I was invited to one place, Brother Jeremy, and the guy called me and he said he wanted to invite me to come and speak. And he said, do you believe in free speech? And I was like, yeah. He said, would you mind coming and giving us one? Yeah, Paul wasn't in it for the money. Paul wasn't a hireling. Ministry that matters is not for sale. Verse 6, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. Oh, ministry that matters is undemanding and humble. Oh my goodness, by virtue of his office, Paul could have sought esteem and he could have sought praise, but he followed the example of his Christ, who said that even though he was in the form of God, didn't think it was something that had to be held on to at any cost, but he humbled himself. Here's some titles. These are actual titles that some men demand that you call them. These are actual titles. Here's one. the Right Reverend. I guess that's opposed to the Left Reverend. I don't know. The Most Reverend. Most Reverend is higher than Right Reverend. The Very Reverend. And again, we're going up. We're getting up. We're getting higher and higher here. Then there's the bishop. These are actual titles that men demand you call them. Prelate. And my personal favorite, the most illustrious potentate. There is a man walking the earth that demands you call him the most illustrious potentate. Ministry that matters is humble. Paul was an apostle, one of a handful of men that God called, that walked with Jesus and held this office. And I think Jeremy brought it out. This is one of the times where Paul doesn't even address himself in the letter as the apostle, Paul the apostle. As a matter of fact, he never called himself the apostle Paul. He always referred to himself as Paul an apostle. And there's so many men today that are just so caught up with titles and with prestige and with receiving honor and glory from men. And Paul says, we did not seek glory from men, either from you or for others, even though we would do some of that. Humility. The Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Ministry that matters is humble ministry. And especially for those of us who God enables to stand and proclaim his word, we have to be that much more careful not to get caught up in titles or prestige. I think one of the brethren said that Paul didn't come to work over them. He came to work amongst them. Honor will follow those to whom it is due. They are not to chase after it. Let's look at the last verses 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Ministry that matters is nurturing. The imagery here is so striking. picture the nursing mother. He says, as a nursing mother watches this, he says, cherishes her own children. Paul treated the saints like they were his own children. We're told in the Word of God, I think it's in Hebrews, that like newborn babes, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Well, certainly, if believers are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, then there's got to be someone giving it to them and nurturing them in the same way that a mother nurtures their child. What a striking image that is. And ministry that matters has that kind of a heart for the people to whom they're ministering to. It's been well said that people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And Paul said not only that, he says, not only did I impart to you the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Oh my goodness, how many of us, what would it be like in our assemblies and in our homes and in our communities if we all began to have that kind of a sense of nurturing those to whom God has given us opportunity to minister. In the same way that a mother nurtures her young child. The mother takes in the food and then makes the milk to give to the child. And so in the same way, we take in the Word of God. God gives it to us, and the writer said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And so we take in God's word. And as a mother would nurture a child, we then give that word back to them. So this I believe, is Paul giving us a picture of ministry that matters. Don't you want your ministry to matter? Don't you want to see lives changed and people delivered and folks coming to Christ and relationships being restored? If we're going to see that, it has to be the way that Paul did. He ministered despite hardships and persecutions. He ministered with pure motives. He ministered the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He ministered not for his own glory, but for God's glory. He ministered selfishly and in humility and with care. And with sacrificial love, he ministered to the people there in Thessalonica. No wonder Paul could say, our ministry to you was not in vain. And my question to us is, can we say the same? Let's pray. We thank you for this example from Paul, who despite hardship continued to be bold in his declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Didn't let hardship and conflict stop him. Ministry that matters. Lord, we want our ministry to be effective. And Lord, we believe that if, as we use this as an example in our lives, if we determine to minister in this way, to be true to your gospel, Lord, to not have any hidden agendas, Lord, to not seek glory for ourselves, Lord, to be loving and caring to those whom you've placed in our sphere of influence. Then, Lord, our ministry will not be in vain. It'll be ministry that matters, ministry that is reaping results for the kingdom of God. Challenge us, encourage us, and may we as a result, Lord, even in the circumstances in which we find ourselves today, may we be like the church at Thessalonica, thriving, even in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation, a world that is rejecting the principles found within your word. Help us thrive and do ministry that matters. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.